This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. In the pursuit of building a more robust music industry for Malaysia, we have to start thinking about bringing the local artists to the global market. And we have been talking about this for the longest of time with hits and misses in terms of result. When we think about individuals like Yuna, we see them reaching global markets in their own accord. And you might not know this, but some artists like Mugen Rao has made it big in India. But the collective effort of raising the Malaysian local music industry to international standards has yet to reach a stage where it can be done collectively and wholesomely, like what we see in other markets, for instance, Korea. It is in this vein that the Malaysian government has created the Malaysian Music Industry Corporation, or PIMM. And this creation of this body was mooted for a long time now. And therefore, it's interesting to see why it's been created now in 2021. In order for us to understand the story a little bit better, I have with me, joining us, Rosmin Hashim, the chairman of the Recording Industry Association of Malaysia, or RIM. Rosmin, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's go through first about the history of the creation of PIMM, from the problems that led to it to the creation of it. From now.
Okay, let me share with you about middle of last year. RIM, together with several music industry practitioners, had made a submission to YB Saifuddin Abdullah to establish a dedicated government agency to look after the interests of the music industry. Because for the longest time, we have never had a dedicated government agency to look after the music industry. And we wanted this music industry to be the equivalent, the music industry equivalent of Finas. After more than a year, finally, PIMM has been established. So we are very grateful with the Honorable Minister for making PIMM a reality after such a long wait from the local music industry.
So how is it set up? Is it set up under the auspices of the Ministry of Communications, or is it a corporation? And how is it funded?
Yes, it's set up under the auspices of the Ministry of Communication and Multimedia. So just like Finas, I believe there will be funding allocated from the government to achieve the objectives of PIMM.
When you say that this should be the equivalent of Finas, there is this whole story of why it wasn't there in the first place. Finas has been around for decades, and yet the music industry is only now reaching this kind of parity.
I'm not sure why it has taken so long. The music industry has been lobbying for this agency for the longest time, as I've mentioned. But before this, there were some moves, in fact, even placed the music industry under Finas. But in our submission, we felt that the music industry was big enough to have its own agency or dedicated government agency to develop the music industry, because in terms of the value of the music industry to the Malaysian economy is actually very big. So that's the reason why we had actually pushed for this dedicated government agency. And Alhamdulillah, now it's become a reality.
And of course, we're looking at the whole purpose or the raison d'être, if I can use that word, about this corporation. It's about trying to not just develop the music industry, but also to ensure the well-being of the recording artists in the country. Which begs the question, how has the welfare of the recording artist seen being kept over the past decade or decades? Do you feel that they were underrepresented? And now that having the PIMM, future recording artists will be better represented and better taken care of in terms of their welfare?
Well, currently in the industry, we've got various associations that are looking out after the welfare of their particular members. So we have seen a lot of initiatives by these various associations to assist. Even RIM itself has done some charity initiatives to assist the recording performers that are in distress due to the pandemic. Like recently, we assisted Kid Search, who needed some funds for his wife's cancer treatment. We've given donations to Mankidal, to Ross Arifin, and to all the recording musicians that have been most hard hit by the pandemic because they are not able to participate in recording projects, neither are they able to perform at entertainment venues. But now I think with PIMM, with the government's support, there will be an annual allocation from the government every year, which we can be used for that particular purpose in terms of looking out after the welfare of music industry practitioners. But that's only one of the objectives of PIMM. But I think the most important objective is in terms of the development of the local music industry, taking it to a greater height. Meaning to say, we need to bring our local content worldwide so that we have a much bigger market than just the Malaysian population of 32 million. So I think that would be one of the key objectives is to grow the market for our local content, which will actually give benefit to all of the music industry practitioners, whether they are the artists, the musicians, or the recording company people and all the other music industry practitioners in the country.
So you're talking about marketing and distribution, am I right, of the recording artists?
I'm referring to how we want to get a bigger, more appeal from the for the Malaysian content from outside of Malaysia. Meaning more acceptance for the songs created by local recording companies in other countries. At the moment, we have a good follow-up following for our songs in Indonesia, in Brunei, in Singapore, but we would like to expand this even further. In fact, we have been able to get some measure of success with some of our artists. In fact, like even recently, there was an Indian artist by the name of Mugen Rao that actually won a singing competition in India, and then he's making big waves there. Of course, in terms of our local Malaysian acts, we have Yuna, who has been able to establish herself in a global market. And then we have a lot of our Malaysian talents before this, like Datuk Siti Nurhaliza, Datuk Sheila Majid, that were very popular in Indonesia. But with the support of PIMM, I believe we can get even more success in terms of exporting our songs, our artists, to reach an even wider audience.
Yeah, I think in order for this to work, you also have to work closely with the record labels. What would be some of the collaboration levels that you intend to build with them through PIMM?
That's for sure, because I represent 366 record label members in RIM, which comprises of local and international record companies. So obviously, all these members will be working very closely with PIMM to see how we can export all the content that are being produced by our members. So I see a very close working relationship between RIM, representing the recording company members, with PIM to achieve the objective that I've mentioned just now.
Some of the numbers that you shared include the PricewaterhouseCoopers, and it's a bit dated 2016. I'm sure the numbers have grown since. But the local music industry has generated a multiplier of 13 billion ringgit annually. It provides employment to over 80,000 Malaysians. It has a tax contribution of 250 million ringgit annually. This is it's no small industry. With this in mind, do you feel that because of the pandemic, it's a bit different into how things are going to move ahead? Do you think that, you know, with the advances of technology, streaming, direct to consumer, would an agency or would a corporation like PIMM can remain relevant when these recording artists can go straight to the market? They don't even have to use the record label. What's the future like for the music industry?
I think if you see in terms of the collaboration between the government and industries, I think the best example is in Korea, whereby the music industry and the government work closely together to export their music as well as their culture. So they have been at it for the longest time. And actually, finally, now they have managed to hit the world market. But they all started like decades ago in terms of the government together with the music industry, together with brands, in terms of exporting their culture. So they managed to export their music, they managed to export their dramas and all that. They became very popular in Malaysia. Like, for instance, we had Winter Sonata at one time was very popular. And then that helped to grow their tourism industry because a lot of Malaysians wanted to go to the place whereby that Winter Sonata drama was shown. So now we can see as well in terms of the interest for all of the Korean artists. Because Korean artists are seen as cool, you can also see in terms of the benefits it causes for all the brands associated with Korea. So now you can see a lot of Korean food franchises popping up in Malaysia, you know, like K-Fry, and a lot of people think it's cool to eat at these outlets. And it's all because of that concerted effort by the government of Korea together with industries to export their culture and their brand. So that has brought a lot of economic benefit to the country. In fact, a single entertainment company in Korea by the name of HYBE, which went public listed a few months back, is worth over $9 billion USD. So that shows the tremendous potential that entertainment companies in Malaysia possess. But to achieve that kind of value, we need to grow our market. So that's why, as I mentioned just now, one of the key objectives is to have a bigger market for the local content that's been created by local record companies.
But that would also mean creating content that would have a wider range of appeal. We all know that the K-pop industry does not just pander towards the domestic market. They actually listen to what the global market wants and gives them. Do you think that we have the wherewithal to make sure that the content creations that is happening right now in this country is something that is demanded from the global market?
Yes, actually we do. Even though relatively we have a smaller population of 32 million, but there's no shortage of great talents in Malaysia. And in terms of the type of music that we can generate for the global market, I can give you an example like for the Nasheed songs. So the Nasheed songs that are being created by popular Nasheed acts like Raihan, Rabani, Intim, and Hijaz, actually, they have a global, they can tap into the global music Muslim community, which is huge in the world. So that's already one area of a type of genre that Malaysia can produce from its Nasheed acts that can actually break into the worldwide market. So aside from that, in terms of the pop songs and all that, sometimes it's just not the language, because there are some songs like in Africa or even in Latin America which are performed in their own languages but still reach a global audience. But of course, we need to find that particular beat or melody that would appeal to a global audience.
Rosmin, we're going to go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more about this. Thanks for staying on with us. I have Rosmin Hashim, the chairman of the Recording Industry Association of Malaysia. Rosmin, there is a lot that can be said about growing some niche markets like Nasheed that you mentioned. But of course, when we talk about vernacular aspect as well, it's also important to note that there's a ready market of 1 billion Indian consumers, over 1 billion Chinese consumers. And you were alluding to Mugen Rao and making waves in India. And of course, there's local Malaysian Chinese artists as well, like Anu, Fish Leong, and many more. Do you feel that that is an area that should be developed even further now that PIMM is in creation?
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the advantages of Malaysia. That's why we've got that Truly Asia, branding by Tourism Malaysia. Because one of the benefits, we are a multicultural country. So we've got Chinese, local Chinese artists and songs, local Chinese Indians and songs, aside from the Malay artists. So as you had mentioned just now, there are many local Chinese artists that have also managed to penetrate and make it big in the pan-China market, like Michael and Victor, Ainu, Fish Leong, Gary Kao, you know. So that shows, you know, a local Malaysian artist can go global. And we have proven that with our local Malaysian Chinese and even the local Indian artist I mentioned just now, Mugen Rao, has also broken into the Indian market. We also have our own Yuna that has broken into the global market. So these are all the achievements that we have been able to do on our own. But again, I believe with the support of PIMM and the funding that is given by the government, we can achieve much more success. And one of the dreams that I have is to have a Grammy-winning song from a Malaysian singer and artist.
Yeah, let's pull back to the story of HYBE and their IPO. One of the bigger items that that company was pushing for is on technological disruption. And, you know, I always force my guests to talk about technology as well. But here's one of an area where streaming is the big deal. YouTube Music, it's offering content, paid content that is not available on the free YouTube. We're talking about Disney Plus Hotstar. We're talking about Netflix. It's all in a land where content is king and people are really consuming content like never before. Do you feel that there has to be a strong push towards getting things on demand, making sure that our content creators are a little bit savvy when it comes to using technology to their advantage to reach more customers and more consumers? And perhaps tap into really new markets that were never even been thought possible before this?
Yeah, most definitely. So we will have to step up our ability in terms of employing technology for our businesses, because that's exactly what HYBE had done, because they were not able to go on the normal touring circuit because of the pandemic. So what they did was actually they did that live stream concert with their artist BTS, which broke records in terms of the amount of money that they could generate, because via a live stream, your audience is not limited to just the capacity of a particular venue, but you get a global audience for that live stream concert. And so they earned hundreds of millions from that live stream concert that they have done. And from that experience, they've also invested in some live stream apps, because they can see in terms of the future what potential these live stream apps will have on the business. So yes, the local companies also have to adopt technology to evolve in order to generate revenues in the current environment.
All right, Rosmin. Final words before we end the interview?
We just hope to play an active role in PIMM to work closely with the government in terms of the achieving the objectives of PIMM in bringing the local music industry to greater heights.
All right, thank you very much, Rosmin. That was Rosmin Hashim, the chairman of the Recording Industry Association of Malaysia. Stay tuned because we still want to do a little bit of coverage on the parliament that just happened, and we'll be back after these messages.
As promised, we just want to do a quick recap into what has happened in the parliament today. The much awaited briefing from the minister, coordinating minister of the COVID-19 vaccination program or immunization program, Khairi Jamaluddin, presented some interesting statistics and information for us to digest. For one, Malaysia, according to him, has secured access to enough COVID-19 vaccines to cover over 130% of the entire population, or 41.7 million people. In his speech in the parliament today, Khairi explained that the country's vaccination portfolio consists of 8 types of vaccination approved by the NPRA, or the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Agency, the body that approves vaccines, from 6 different suppliers around the world. They include from the COVAX facility, covering about 10% of the population, Pfizer and BioNTech, about 70% of the population, AstraZeneca, about 10% of the population, Sinovac, 19.4%, or about 20% of the population, and CanSino, 10% of the population. According to KJ, a further supply covering 10% of the country's population will be received by the Russian company called the Gamaleya National Research Center for Epidemiology and Microbiology, the manufacturer of the 2-dose Sputnik V vaccine that is currently still awaiting approval by the NPRA. There's a lot that has been said from his speech, and a lot also has been debated by the MPs in the August House, one of which is that the opposition MPs are arguing, that ivermectin should be used. However, it has been repeatedly said by the government officials, and in fact some of the members of the opposition MPs themselves, including that of the former health minister, in that no responsible doctor will administer ivermectin until there is clinical evidence that it actually helps alleviate such cases when it comes to COVID-19 patients. They're not saying that the ivermectin is a bad drug, nor are they saying that ivermectin shouldn't be used. All of them are merely saying that they're still awaiting clinical results to support the use of ivermectin in the process of treating COVID-19 patients. So because of this, there's a lot of allegations that has been thrown, in the sense that whoever that says ivermectin is a bad drug is perpetuating fake news. This was stated by the Sungai Buloh MP. That is, of course, false, and he is misreading the interpretation of why people are not using ivermectin just yet. It is not about perpetuating fake news. It's about awaiting clinical trials to come back to support the use of that drug in applying for, or in being used for COVID-19 patients. Whatever it is, it's also interesting that the majority of the drugs or the vaccines that we are going to get is from Pfizer. That would put some ease into a lot of Malaysians. And as of today, as of 28th July, it's important to note that over 25% of adults have been vaccinated. That comes to about 18% of the total population of Malaysia have been double vaccinated. And some states are still lagging behind, particularly in the states of Kedah, Kelantan, Johor, and Sabah. But of course, some other states are doing fairly well, with over 60% of the adults being double vaccinated, being single vaccinated at least. This includes Selangor and KL, as well as Sarawak. So continue to be part of the vaccination program. Continue to be kept abreast with some of the news that is coming out from the parliament right now, because it is in session and there's a lot of debates that are currently happening there. For now, we have to bring this show to a close. Thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.